Let's open our Bibles this evening to Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26. We'll read just a couple of verses here. Let's pray before we do that. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight, the opportunity that we have to be in church, the opportunity that we have to open our Bible, to preach your word. Lord, help me as I do that to be able to preach in such a way that people that came here tonight would get your word, would get into their lives, and would change them from the inside out. Lord, we pray for those that came, obviously. We don't want to make this a routine, so we've come to church to listen, to hear what you have for us. Lord, we pray that's the case, that when we leave here tonight, you have been a help to us through your word and the things that we've heard. Lord, thank you again for the work that you're doing in Kingsville, not only in Kingsville, but here in Corpus and Reunion Island, Lord, all over the world through the missionaries that come through here. Now we get to see some of the joy and the things that are going on, and we get to be a part of that. We want to thank you for that. Lord, now we pray, help us as we preach this message. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter number 26. I'll give you a little background of what's happening here. In this passage of Scripture, we see Paul going through his conversion experience before King Agrippa. And Paul explains how he is to be a minister and a witness for God to the people and the Gentiles in verse number 16. I want you to see just a couple things. Look with me in verse number 4. He begins to tell King Agrippa my manner of life from my youth. So he goes way back. Verse number 5, which knew me from the beginning, they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Look at verse number 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Verse 11, and I punished them oft in every synagogue. He continues on and says, I persecuted them, there in verse number 11. And then in verse number 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. And it begins to tell him on the road to Damascus, the encounter that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this in verse number 16. This is what Jesus Christ told Paul. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to do these five things in verse number 18. Number one, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So as you see, Jesus Christ, in verse number 16, tells him, this is your purpose. This is why I have appeared unto ye, to thee, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things. And then he gives them five things there in verse number 18, the ministry that Paul is to accomplish. Well, what is that ministry that he was to accomplish? First of all, to open their eyes. He says, I want you to open their eyes. Well, people today are walking around with their eyes closed, and they need somebody to open their eyes. Well, why open the eyes of men? Because, first of all, lost people need their eyes opened. This is why Jesus Christ told Paul, this is what I want you to do. I want you to open the eyes of men. Lost people need their eyes open. Keep your place here, but go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Second Corinthians chapter number 4, we'll get right to the verses. Look with me in verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, the devil has blinded, notice here, the minds of these people, and that's why it's important that somebody, in this case Paul, go and open the eyes of men, that they might be able to see this Bible and spiritually discern what it is that it says, so that they can too be saved. They need their eyes open. Lost people need their eyes open, but not only lost people, saved people need their eyes open too. Go with me to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3, and look with me in verse number 14. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and what else? And blind and naked. Well, there's even some people that need their eyes open. The condition oftentimes, like he's describing really of us, is somebody who has everything. Somebody who is rich, who is increased with goods, who has need of nothing. And oftentimes as Christians, we get into that mindset and our eyes begin to be blinded regarding spiritual matters, regarding people that are lost, regarding the condition of those that are saved and need to be in a right relationship with God. And we focus on this thing instead of what really matters, which is what God wants. And says, you're blind. And so when Jesus Christ appears to Paul and he says, I want you to go and open the eyes of men. Well, lost people need their eyes open because they're walking around in darkness. But saved people are also, according to this, blind because of everything that we have. And it's not good. And he says, I want you to go and open the eyes, their eyes. Well, what's the solution? Ask God. Bible says in Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. If a lost person comes to this Bible and he says that he wants to get saved, God will open his eyes so that when he reads those particular verses, it jumps out and he can get saved. A saved person can come to this Bible and pray that same prayer or ask God that same petition, and God can give him or her those open eyes that they may behold wondrous things out of thy law, so that their focus is on the things that are in the Bible and not the things that are here on this world. We need open eyes. Lost people need open eyes. And that's why Jesus told Paul, preach to them, tell them, this is your ministry, to open the eyes of men. Okay? And not only to open the eyes of men, the next thing that he tells them is to turn men from darkness to light. Well, people today are walking in darkness and they're stumbling all over the place. Now, people need light. And it's going to get darker and dimmer the closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why turn men from darkness to light? Well, because lost people stumble in the darkness. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. And knowing the condition where lost people are at, do you really want them to stay there? No. And knowing where we are now in the light and have the light of Jesus Christ, we don't want a lost person to continue in their darkness. We want them to be in the light like we are in the light, to be able to afford them the opportunity for them to make that decision. So why turn from darkness to light? Because lost people's deeds are evil. Turn with me to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, and look at verse number 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Why turn men from darkness to light? Because their deeds are evil. We want people to come out of that evil that is in them through the forgiveness they can find in Jesus Christ. So what's the solution? Jesus. He's the light. You're in John chapter number 3. Look at John chapter number 8. Look at verse number 12. John chapter number 8 and verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the what? The light of life. This is why we should turn men from darkness to light. Point them to the light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can give them that light. They're stumbling all over the place, hurting themselves, walking in ways that are not pleasing to God. Well, give them to the solution, Jesus Christ. Not only is Jesus Christ the solution, but the solution is this Bible also. Well, not only does it work for a lost person, but it works for a saved person too. A person is in darkness, and he says, I want you to go and turn men from darkness to light, point them to this. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Well, this is it right here. Not only in Psalm 119, 105, but also in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. You can find it here. And that's why when we go and we talk to people, it's not about, what does Robert say? It's not about my opinion. It's not, that really doesn't make a difference in light of the Word of God. This is what can turn people from darkness to light. Jesus Christ is the light. This brings light to the life of a person. Take it to them. They too can have light. People can come out of darkness to the light. Okay, it's not only those two things, but also he tells them to turn men from the power of Satan to God. That's the next thing. Well, you have to know that Satan today has believers and unbelievers under his power. It's just the way it is. And when he tells them that he wants him to turn men from the power of Satan to God, why? Why? Because Satan has the power to tempt a person. He has the power to sift a believer. He has the power to afflict a believer. He has the power to beguile a believer. He has the power to ensnare a believer. He has the power even to take a believer captive at his will, just like a string puppet, doing whatever the devil wants somebody to do, a believer or an unbeliever. That's why when Paul has that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells him, I want you to turn men from the power of Satan to God. Well, you know the verse. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This is not just a little kitten. This is a full-grown lion. And he's not just sitting somewhere, being idle. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. This is serious business. Man, well, the people today are under the power of Satan. And he says, I want them to go from that to God. Well, why? Furthermore, because saved people will end up destroyed by the power of Satan. You remember that man that Paul made reference in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, that fornicator that was with his father's wife. And Paul said something very specific regarding that person. He says, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Well, you got to know that is some power. That he would say, you're not quitting what you're doing. We're going to give you over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. We know that he's saved and he can't lose his salvation, but Satan can sure destruct him. And that's what he's doing today. He's destructing unbelievers and believers alike. He's not playing around. And that's why, again, Paul receives this and he says to turn people, men, from the power of Satan to God. It's that important. It's such a big deal that Jesus Christ would say this. Well, not only that it has this power, such great power, but also because it completely changes a lost person's life. You've seen it. If you've witnessed to people, or perhaps you know how you used to be, and you know how you are now. And hopefully it's not the same. hopefully you're walking in the Spirit. You're no longer under the control of Satan. You're no longer doing what he wants you to do, but you're walking and doing what God wants you to do. Well, that's the same power that we can see here going from Satan to God. Go with me to Acts chapter number 8, and I'll give you an example. Paul himself knew this firsthand. You're talking about a man who was going 100 miles an hour in the same direction as the devil, and yet his life changed completely. He tells it right there when he's talking to King Agrippa, the encounter that he had with Jesus Christ. Well, look at Acts chapter number 8, verse number 1. And Saul, this is Paul, who is formerly known as Saul of Tarsus, was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Notice verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. It continues on. Look with me in chapter number 9, verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And it continues on, and it tells you exactly what he was doing. Look in verse number 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Look at verse 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Well, you got to know that these people are afraid. Look at verse number 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were what? They were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But then he has that encounter. And when that happens, look at verse number 30. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. How much havoc was Paul wreaking throughout the churches that when he was converted from the devil, and now he's in Christ's team. He's in Team Jesus. Now what? Now all the churches in Judea and Samaria and Galilee had rest. That was a lot of persecution that he was doing. To have someone like that go from the power of Satan to God, that's a big deal. And God can do that for anyone. Completely changes a person, a lost person. And not only that, the next thing that he tells them there in our passage is to preach forgiveness of sins. He says that they may receive forgiveness of sins. So why preach about the forgiveness of sins? Well, because lost people get their sins forgiven when they receive Jesus Christ. That's a big deal. They need their sins forgiven. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21, the Bible says, For he hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Why preach about the forgiveness of sins? Because a lost people need their sins forgiven. And only Jesus Christ can do that. Nobody else can do that. There is no other God, no other person but him, Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to go. Tell them about the forgiveness of sins that I can give them. The Bible also says in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It all happens through what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. Well, not only that, to preach the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because lost people need their sins forgiven. But did you know that saved people need their sins forgiven too? Go with me to 1 John chapter number 1. If we want to be in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't take our liberty or license to sin and think that Jesus Christ already paid for the entire sins, which he did. He did die for our sins, but we shouldn't make that an occasion for the flesh and say, well, now that I'm saved, I can do whatever I want. It's not the case. 1 John chapter number 1, look with me in verse number 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, what a great thing we have as believers to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him, Lord, this is what I've done, and I want to be in a right fellowship and relationship with you. Forgive me of those things. And he does that. Well, that's why to preach forgiveness of sins was such a big deal. And then the last thing that he tells them was to preach an inheritance. He says, tell them about the inheritance that a person can have. Well, why preach about this, about the inheritance that you can have through God? Well, when you're dealing with a lost person and you tell them that they have a mansion prepared for them and that Jesus Christ has prepared a mansion for them, that's a great thing. And if nothing else, they're looking forward to that. Or if you can tell them that You don't have to take that old body you have. It's going to get changed just like that. And you'll get a new glorified body. Well, that's a great deal, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Well, to preach an inheritance, lost people need to know that, but also saved people need to know about this inheritance. Why? Oftentimes, as saved people, we lose sight of the inheritance that we have or could have in heaven. Why? Because we get so focused on the things that are going on here on this earth. Sometimes, even Christians get into sin and doing things that they're not supposed to do, and you won't have as much inheritance as you would have had if you wouldn't have done these things. The Bible says in Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of what? Of this earth. We can get so focused on that as Christians. And it shouldn't be like that. Well, why did he tell him to preach about this inheritance? Lost people need to know about it, but saved people need to know about it too. Ephesians 5:5 says, for this ye know. And it begins to give a list of the people that are not going to inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. He says, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Why preach about this inheritance? Because lost people need to know about it, but saved people too. Do you want a bigger inheritance? I do. So in conclusion, I'll say this. This ministry that Paul was given, we saw there in Acts chapter number 26, verse number 16 through 18, was specific to him. However, every believer today can minister to a lost person or to a saved person in this manner. You too can go to them and open their eyes. You too can go to them and turn them from darkness to light. You too can go to them and turn men from the power of Satan to God. You too can tell them about the forgiveness of sins that is found in Jesus Christ. And you too can tell them about the inheritance that God has for his children. And not only was it for Paul, but as I was thinking this week, I was asking the Lord, Lord, help me to see not just with physical eyes, but to see with spiritual eyes. Oftentimes we get so focused in dealing with people and so familiar with people that we see a person. But if we just stopped and saw the soul which God is concerned about, it would give us a different perspective. And it would encourage us, just like Paul, to share these things with them so that they too can have some of the things that we have. And I think that would be a good thing. People, looking at people in this light, in the light of this passage, are encouraged to see beyond the physical into the spiritual. So help us, Lord, to do that. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for the things that we heard tonight. Lord, not only a ministry that was given to Paul, but as we see that, something that we want to be a part of, that we too get to tell others about you and be able to be a part of what you're doing. Lord, I ask you please to help each and every one of us. And those things that we have heard tonight, if there are some things that we're not doing that we should be doing, help us to do that. And if we are doing some things, thank you for the reminder. Help us to continue to be encouraged and to continue walking with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.